the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Hour number three of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and once again we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a very special guest.
We're pleased to be joined by Jody Wright. He's the athletic director and men's basketball coach at Fulton High School. Jody, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. How you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you for joining us. First off, wanted to get your reaction to Knox County saying that schools can start workouts on Tuesday.
You know, I think that was the news all of us were waiting to hear and kind of sitting around here anxious. A lot of nervousness, wondering what's going on. You know, the thing about this situation is it has changed day, sometimes hourly. So we're ready to get started. There's some protocols and procedures that we got to get in place get lined up to make sure we're doing this the right way. But I think everybody's ready to get started next week at some point.
We're familiar that Blount County opened earlier, and I wonder, most of the counties that are contiguous to Knox County, are they also opening, or either have opened or will open soon? Do you know?
I think so. I think most everybody, a lot of counties, I know Maryville, Oak Ridge, Maryville, Alcoa opened up last week doing some stuff, and I think they're going to go to phase two and June 1. But I think most of the counties around us are either opening up the 26th or the 1st.
In regard to the benefits of opening it up, what's the good that you think will come out of this for these high school athletes?
You know, Jimmy, I think first of all, the relationships is huge. I've heard so many coaches that have called me and said, it's not that what we're missing from an athletic standpoint, and that's pretty substantial, but he said, it's just the fact that I can't see my players face to face. And it's kind of hard to have a relationship, and I put a lot of value on the a relationship that a high school coach has and the impact a high school coach can have, and that's hard to do from a distance, and it's hard to do when you're not seeing these young men or young ladies face to face every day. So getting back to where we're having some contact with them, we can be involved in their lives, I think that's first and foremost the biggest advantage of starting back.
Coach, you do such a fine job not only coaching the Falcons basketball team but also overseeing the all athletic teams, and I'm just wondering, what's it like to wear that hat in a situation like this where you're trying to keep tabs on not only your team but also all your coaches and their teams?
Well, that's, you know, your main responsibility, John. You know, as an administrator and a basketball coach, I'm first an administrator, and I have to always remember that. And so those responsibilities and those duties take precedence over your role as a basketball coach. So right now, been trying to keep my coaches informed. Again, that's sometimes hard to do because, again, sometimes the hardest words to say are, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot through this that again, I don't know, because either the information had not been released to us or, again, the information has been released and they said, hold on, because it's going to change. So that's one thing. We'll get together as a coaching staff next week and go over protocols and procedures that we make sure we're following to keep all of our athletes safe.
What has it been like to see a routine develop out of not only checking in with your coaches but also with your administrators, with the principal, whether it be the county, whoever, I mean, just and talking perhaps with other colleagues? What has it been like to kind of steward things through this?
Well, that's, you know, John, about all we've gotten done through this is talk. And we do that pretty good in education. We've got this meeting stuff down. We can do it as good as anybody. But, I think that there's been a lot of communication. I know I've talked to many directors of schools around our area, principals, coaches. I think everybody's kind of wanting just they're bouncing ideas off each other. What are you all thinking about? Where are you? So I think all the communication flow has been pretty good because we all want to make sure we're doing the right thing. And again, what's this district over here doing? How can we do that? And what guidelines do we need to follow? And that's what's been challenging because the guidelines have changed. Again, sometimes they change on a weekly basis. Sometimes they'll change later. But that's been the tough part. But it's been good. I'll say this. I've talked to a lot of people in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I'd say so.
Yeah. Our guest, Jody Wright, he's the athletic director and boys basketball coach at Fulton High School. Jody, I have read where there are some schools or school districts, counties opening up sooner than others, and some coaches said, hey, this is an unfair advantage to us. Well, life's not always fair, and I get that you feel like, okay, they're having a head start on us, but is there a part of you that wants to say, look, let's just do the best we can, and I don't want to hear any complaining?
Well, Jimmy, and you're right. I think, first of all, to answer your question, that is frustrating. But in the grand scheme of things, and I call that a competitive imbalance or a competitive mm-hmm. advantage. And that has always been in place. If you look at right now, there's schools that at the collegiate level, there's schools at the high school level that have competitive advantage because they've got better facilities. They've got more facilities. There's school A that's got 2 gyms, and school B's got 1. And so, school A has got multiple weight rooms, and their weight room's better. Is that a competitive advantage? Yes, it is. It happens right now in regards to one thing I can think of is athletic practice. There's some systems that allow their athletic teams to practice during the school day. There's some systems that don't. Knox County is one of those that we don't do practice during the school day. But so if you look at it and over here at this school that practices in the school day and those athletes are leaving school every day at 4:30 and they're home and starting homework and every day by 4:30, 5 o'clock as opposed to this school over here that alternates practice with the girls and half the time they're starting practice at 6 o'clock and walking out of that gym at 8:30, 8:45. Over the course of a season, you know, that's a pretty substantial competitive advantage. It's done in policy. There's some school systems that have policies that when school's out for, you know, whatever reason, they don't allow after school activities. Other systems don't. And so when you've got in a situation where you've got multiple systems inside a district in that Triple-A district, basketball-wise, you've got Knox County, you've got Anderson County, Oak Ridge City, Maryville City, Blount County. All of those have different policies. And if one district has a restrictive policy, it puts those teams at a competitive disadvantage. So it's been going on. We haven't addressed it and looked at it, but now the competitive disadvantage has been present for a while, and are we going to have that through this? Yes, we are, and I just don't know any way with where we are as a state and different parts of our state more affected than others. I mean, we've got some counties that have not had a single outbreak. Mm-hmm. So how do we say to those kids, listen, because Memphis is a hotbed, Let's all sit around here and let's do nothing because Memphis is going to be slower. Again, I think in that case, if we look and we truly ask ourselves what's best for high school kids, not what's best for me and my program, but what's best for high school kids. And at this point, I cannot look anybody in the eye and say getting back to what may be the new normal, but getting kids back in front of their coaches and back to some athletic activity, it's got to be helpful. That's got to be the best thing right now.
The TSSAA email said the dead period is June 22 through July 5th when no team workouts are permitted. Jody, that's an annual thing. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, so nothing changed there, all right?
Well, and again, I'll say this, that has been discussed. The Board of Control, we discussed whether we needed the dead period this year. Jimmy, that's not a Board of Control decision. That deals with the sports calendar. So that's legislative council. You know, personally, if Jody Wright was in charge, I would do away with the dead period this year because I just don't think that we need it this year. I think, you know, the dead period was to kind of have a little bit of a natural break in there where kids had some time to spend with their families and downtime. And, you know, they've been down for 2 months. But, you know, Jody Wright's not in charge. So as of now, the sports calendar will stay in place.
Speaking of sports, what's it like to see Rob Black get a much-deserved spotlight with induction into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, I tell you, how great was that? Rob's record certainly speaks for itself. Rob's been a, you know, John, he's been a Hall of Famer for so long. And the thing that I love about Rob Black is just, you know, besides you take away all the accolades, he has got a servant's heart. A couple years ago, I'll tell you a quick story. There was a Mike Keith was broadcasting our state championship game, and so he calls me the night before we play. He's wanting a human interest story, and I said, "All right, Mike." I said, "I'll tell you a good human interest story." I said, "There's going to be a pretty big fella sitting behind my bench." I said, "He'll probably have a white pullover on." I said, "He'll be about 6'5", 6'6". I said, "He'll hand out water and towels." I said, "If you get here early enough, you'll see him. He drive my bus." I said, "You come to the Fulton home game, he's keeping the book and does the PA." I said, "If you get there in the fall, he's winning state championships." I said, how many football coaches are doing that right there? And that tells you all you need to know about Rob Black. But what a great class with Rob and my old friend Clark Duncan both going in together. And they player coach, what a unique story that is as well. But really excited for Robbie.
Hey, Jody, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us and talking about the latest news with the TSSAA. And hopefully this will work out well, and the high school kids and the supervision they get will be beneficial to all concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always good talk to you guys.
Thank
Coach,
you, Jody.
Thank you.
That's right, Jody Wright. Thank you, Jody. Jody Wright, he's athletic director at Fulton High School, also the boys' basketball coach.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Sports Talk Today is brought to you by Oak Ridge Nissan, where you can take advantage of just incredible deals. First of all, you've got a $1,000 gift card to spend any way you want with the purchase of any vehicle, new or used. And you have so many options. You can buy with no money down. You can get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade-in. 0% interest for up to 84 months. No payments until 2021. All of that to choose from. That's quite the menu. And, of course, you'll find them right there doing what they've been doing for quite some time with their minimal personal contact sales and service program. Whether you're buying a vehicle, having your vehicle serviced, they'll make sure that you've got your own area sanitized, private, where you can either finalize your deal or wait for your car to be ready. We'll get a break. It's Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Sports Talk rolls on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The runaway number one in East Tennessee for sports. We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. Today we're brought to you by Oak Ridge Nissan.
John, I saw a debate. Would the Dream Team of 92 beat the Redeem Team of 2008? Now, they list the starters for each team, and I don't think there's much doubt that, at least based on position, I would take the 92 Dream Team starters. The only one comparing positions to me that would start from the 08 team versus 92 would be LeBron James. Otherwise, I thought the Dream Team of 92 had the edge, and of course, they had a pretty good bench. Who would you favor, 92 Dream Team, 08 Redeem Team?
I don't see anybody beating the Dream Team.
I don't either. Yeah. Just an incredible amount of talent. One thing that was said also was that I think even LeBron James said this. He said that 92 Dream Team would be more physical. He said, man, they had some grown men out there playing. He said he thought the 08 team would not miss many baskets and might have a better skill level. But I'm kind of in your camp. I think that Dream Team would have would. I just don't see anybody being able to beat them. As good as the 08 team was, and it was pretty darn good,
right?
I don't see them beating the Dream Team.
Yeah, if you're just talking about each in their prime, I don't think I can't imagine the talent necessary to beat that Dream Team.
Yeah, I mean, you could search all over the place and try to find enough players to do that, and that would be difficult to do. All right, a few other notes out there. The Jets have signed Joe Flacco, the 35-year-old quarterback, signed a one-year deal with incentives that could carry it up to $4.5 million. He had neck surgery in April. It's expected he would not return until about September. He's won a Super Bowl, and he's got 40,000 career passing yards. Also, Dak Prescott, this can't be right, but I heard somebody talking about, well, yeah, maybe he wants $45 million. There's no way. Maybe he wants more than Russell Wilson, who's making $35 million. He's the highest paid. The franchise tag for Dak would give him a little bit more than $31 million. But I saw this too, which is one reason that I think there's some hesitation from Dallas's point to pay him a boatload of money. Against teams that won 10 games, Dak Prescott's record is 5-13. Against everybody else, he's 35-11. Also, this note was kind of interesting. Last year, he and Kirk Cousins were the first quarterbacks since 2005 to have a 30-touchdown passing season and zero game-winning drives. I think Dak is really good. I'm just real hesitant to put him in that elite class until I see him do more in terms of the playoffs. He's got one playoff win in 4 years, I believe. Until I see him do more in that regard. And I can't say that he hadn't had a good supporting cast, because he has.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to see him do a little bit more winning before I put him in the elite circle and pay him all that kind of money. So we'll see. Here was another note. Rob Ninkovich, who's with the ESPN, the former Patriots linebacker, he said he thinks Brian Hoyer is going to start for New England over Jarrett Stidham. Now, Mike Tenenbaum with ESPN said there's no way. He said New England they could have gone out and drafted Jordan Love, or they could have signed Jameis Winston or Cam Newton or somebody else, and they didn't do it. So he believes that New England believes Stidham's the answer. But Ninkovich says nope. He said, I think it's going to be Hoyer until Stidham figures out exactly what to do. That's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out.
It will be, and if Hoyer is indeed the path they take, then that tells me one thing, and that is Bill Belichick wants Trevor Lawrence.
Interesting. Well, and here's the thing too. They were talking about New England and who would you favor in the NFC East, and all of them were taking New England. But John, I'm going Buffalo. I may end up being wrong about that, but I just think that New England is going to take a pretty decent step back, and you know that everybody's going to be gunning for him, and they also play one of the more difficult schedules in the NFL. So I've got the Bills favored over New England because I don't trust New England at quarterback right now.
Well, as you mentioned, it is a huge transition that's taking place, and we know that one of the reasons that Tom Brady is no longer with the Patriots is because he wanted to join a franchise like Tampa Bay that has so many options when it comes to offense, big-time playmakers, things like that. Well, that was lacking last year in New England, obviously. If you were to just look at the second half of the season last year with Tom Brady, the Patriots were 4-4. In the regular season, to close out the second half of the campaign, they were 4-4. By tiebreaker, they would have finished last in the AFC East.
Wow. Well, so, go ahead.
I just think that I'll be surprised if the Patriots – I think that, no doubt about it, I give them benefit of the doubt that they'll be competitive, but I also think that Buffalo would I would be tempted to pencil Buffalo in, but I would also look at that gathering of East teams and still go, I'll believe it when I see it, that somebody other than the Patriots wins it. But I think that if you take the past out of the picture, that Buffalo right now is probably the team best suited to win that division when you look at their personnel on offense and defense.
I just wonder how many times New Orleans is going to be in a position where they need to score late and they don't have a quarterback that can do it for them.
That's a great point.
That's why, and I think they'll be in a lot of low-scoring, close games. So that's why I'm giving the Bills the edge. So, but we'll see. Hey, I've been wrong before.
Well, and I have as well, so we shall see is right. We'll get a break. When we return, we look forward to catching up with Andy Jeffers to talk about what it has been like being on hand as racing has returned with two NASCAR races and an incredible Xfinity race in Darlington within the last less than a week. So Andy Jeffers joins us next on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Today we are brought to you by Oak Ridge Nissan. And we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to be joined by an incredible young man, Andy Jeffers, who joins us. He has been busy. Joins us from Charlotte. He has had all of his mail forwarded this last week to Darlington. As he has been working, courtesy of Sports and Entertainment Media, making sure that the in-car cameras were operating up to snuff, and Andy, who is a graduate of the Link Hudson Great School, a school of great guys. Andy, how are you?
Oh, guys, how are you guys doing? Hey, I'm loving the American theme you guys are having. So the music and everything coming back, that's been awesome, man. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We just dodged more rain today, so I apologize for yesterday. The track dried a lot faster than I thought it was going to.
Well, just glad that you were able to get the race in, but what has it been like? I mean, this is something you've been doing for a while. What was it like with the downtime, and then also what was it like to see things get fired up this past Sunday with the return of NASCAR in Darlington?
It's been kind of crazy. You know, Atlanta, we were in the garage. We were ready to do what we normally do every week. The whole TV crew had everything set up, and then all of a sudden we got the call that, hey, it's shut down. Go home, pack up, leave. And so it's one of these things. It's unprecedented. We didn't know what we were going to do and how long this was going to be. So the downtime was, you do the best you can. You prep and you question and you wonder. You just don't know what to do. And in the meantime, you miss sports. You miss being there. You miss the people. And as everybody has gone through this, we miss sports tremendously. So the prep, getting back, I will say I commend NASCAR. I commend the track, the state of South Carolina, and every state that, have worked this out. It's been truly a huge, huge undertaking to do, just on the fact from a technical standpoint, from a safety. I mean, that was the number one goal, was safety. But to come back and, it's just different, that's for sure.
Andy, this is Jimmy Hyams. Good to talk to you.
Hey, you too, Jimmy. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Hey, I know that a lot of folks on the NASCAR circuit can get pretty close, and I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about the Chase Briscoe situation. Here's a guy that a couple of days ago, his wife has a miscarriage, and then he goes out and he wins an Xfinity race yesterday. I know that was a very emotional scene for him, and I'm sure a lot of those around him.
Two things that have happened on Wednesday night and yesterday, and starting with yesterday, the whole Chase Briscoe thing, that was hush. I think a couple of people knew, but that was about it. Being one of our pit reporter, and when he won, the first time I heard that was through my headset, sitting on pit road, and I mean, the emotion coming out of that win and everything that he had gone through and his wife, this is why we cover this stuff. is for those stories that are emotional. That is something tragic that that poor family has to go through. But that win yesterday, it just for a little bit, maybe might have taken their mind off something. And I think that also is what the whole reason we love sports, the reason you guys cover sports, the reason we love Tennessee football. Those things, they're humans. And these guys who are who we consider crazy gladiators, you know, if they take the field or court or they strap themselves in a race car, that is the emotion. That those they're human beings doing crazy, crazy things. And that I can't conceive. I can't even imagine what they're doing. But yet, here's a human aspect that just raw, pure, his faith, emotion, everything hit him when he got the checkered flag. Beat one of the greatest race car drivers ever in Kyle Busch. And just the emotion. And that's, again, like you say, the community in NASCAR is very tight, very competitive, but very tight. And to see that, it was just, I mean, that was a win that everybody was just pulling for that kid. He's a great kid, great family.
I think that NASCAR, with the levels of racing, I think it's like 20 races in 36 days. And I wonder, obviously that's tough on the drivers to compact it like that, but how tough is it on you and the folks carrying it on TV and everybody else that's involved in putting on the race?
Yeah, well, you know, it's crazy because there's an alarm going on. We got tornado warnings in Charlotte. It's we can't get away from the rain. It's unreal. But you know, the emotions. I will say the undertaking that went on was incredible. From Fox and everything they did, it was a tremendous, tremendous feat. It was one of those things where, you know, we probably cut our crew down from 150 to about 75. You know, NASCAR, to put on, you know, a whole race, normally they have like 2,500 people. They cut it down to 900. You know, so the safety was the biggest aspect. And, you know, like having a rain delay is not what you wanted. And then for a train like that, you've got to pack up trucks. But before you can pack them up now, the strike is at the end of a race but the setup, it takes longer because everything has to be taken out, has to be sterilized or disinfected every night. It was a phenomenal task for what they've done. And I credit Fox and NASCAR again for what they did to bring the sport back. But there were so many safety protocols that were put in place to make it happen. But yes, it is. It's I drove up to the track today. I had to go pick up some stuff, and I ran by, and the trucks were just getting to the racetrack, and that was from last night. So you still have to follow guidelines and rules that are set in place, you know, for truck drivers. There's so much logistics to this sport, but then you've got to look at the safety and how they got to pull every truck in, and they will go through a whole safety protocol of disinfecting the trucks. The bellies, they'll pull everything out from the trucks and they'll clean them again. It's a process, but hey, we got sports back on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We got golf this weekend, and you guys have got stuff now to talk about. We've got a lot of momentum going, and I think this is going to just pick up every other sport.
What was it like to be with an event where the stands were empty? And yet it was, I mean, it kind of was like video game racing for the fact that it was a race that you expected to see, but I mean, how different was it?
You guys have done this. And I think probably some of your listeners, in Knoxville have walked into Neyland Stadium just by yourself or with a small group and not on a game day. That is the feeling you get. It is a weird feeling to be on property, putting on a sport without the fans. The fans are the energy. The fans are everything to sports, and for racing, they're diehard. You can hear them over the race cars. Drivers say they can sense it. They said it was weird, but standing on pit road and when if there was a wreck, you can hear the gasp and the oh my God, you know, and that wasn't there. The energy was not there. Now, the excitement was there because, look, we knew what we were doing. We knew this was a remarkable feat that was set forth, and I think it has opened up so many more doors for other organizations, for other sporting events, for other leagues to think about. And you've seen it this week. But I think without fans, it's tough. And I hope we can get back there sooner than later. And I think that's the feeling that every sport has. But right now, I just want sports live. So I'll take this. And if it, you know, whatever protocols are put in place for the NHL, NBA, MLB, and then especially for the in the fall for the big stuff for college football and NFL, I think fans will you get what you can, and if it's on TV, we'll take it.
And we hadn't seen a weeknight NASCAR race since 1984. What was that like? As of course you guys were again dodging raindrops to start with.
That's the pain. It's playing the rain and wet game. But having a Wednesday, you know, that's a rumor that has been around, you know, especially the last 2 years. You know, next year NASCAR is, you know, we've heard that the schedule is going to be changed and revamped. And that is one of the things that has been thrown on the table is a Wednesday night race, a midweek race. How will it do? How will fans take it? Will they accept it? Does it have to be in a big market? But racing on Wednesday, you know, is a shorter race, which is a thing, too, that they're looking at. But I thought that the excitement level in racing, like once the drivers were walking off, well, besides the bird and a couple of angry crew chiefs, that was one of the things. The drivers, I think they love the excitement. You know, it's under the lights, a Wednesday night race. Why not? Why not try something outside the box? You know, there's so many ways to do things, and I think that's the excitement. I think it's a great idea. I hope it sticks and maybe next year carries over.
Andy, with NASCAR being one of the few live sporting events that we have right now, and looking at some of the numbers as far as the viewership, do you think NASCAR is gaining some new fans?
You know, I do. I think, you know, when you're the only show in town, that helps. I think a lot of people were tuned in Sunday. I know there are a lot of people on site who, you know, obviously had to be approved. But there were people, and I know NASCAR was in constant conversation last week with a lot of the higher-ups, talking to the NBA, MLB. You know, I think everybody was pulling for everybody. We know we need sports. And so I think us going out and doing what we did, I think that really does help. And I think you will get new viewers. I mean, look at, you know, Danny, you know, the quarantine time. Who would have ever thought you'd watch a iRacing event, a video game, and that pulled over a million viewers watching because it was some kind of contest that was put on. With those drivers and stuff. And I thought, you know, I think that says a lot about how hungry people want, you know, live sports.
Have you heard any scuttlebutt on when fans might be able to return to the track?
I listened to a couple of interviews and a couple of this. The hope, obviously, is sooner than later. But, again, safety is everything. And that, I mean, there's no budging on that. You just can't afford to have some bad accident or something happen. So you really, really got to focus. I saw Indianapolis, they would love for Indy for the July 4th. They had talked about it and rumors are out there about it, but I think it really just depends on how the next couple of weeks go before they really kind of look at that. But, you know, that might be too soon. It might be August, or later and stuff. It's just, you know, I'm a big music fan. And so while we're talking sports and getting sports going, it really hurts to see a tons of these tours canceling, fairs canceling. And that is something I think you got to look at. It's like, these are fan-based type, you know, events. So, you know, when is too soon and when's too late? You know, I don't know. But I think Indy would be something they would dream of if it could happen.
Our guest, Andy Jeffers. And Andy, it was a project of passion. And as you just mentioned, you're a huge fan of music. And I know you loved having a hand in getting folks out to see Tall Paul last year with his 30th anniversary show. And if folks weren't able to attend, that's available, right?
Well, it is. It's, you know, so many people, if you, especially with the University of Tennessee, you or Vandy or anywhere in the Southeast Conference, but mainly in Tennessee, you knew Tall Paul. You knew who he was. You knew that Monday nights were a big night with him. And he had his 30th anniversary. We recorded it. And so he asked, he said, what do you want to do? How do you want to release it? So when all this happened, I was like, Paul, I was like, man, I was like, this might be a great time. We have nothing yet. And I was like, it's live and we can do something. And I saw it edited a 4-part series because it was 8 hours of music. He had guests come in from Colorado. He had people come in from overseas, Florida. And so that was, it was fascinating. And it was a cool deal because, like, everybody knows Tall Paul is like, hey, he's the, you know, he's the guy on the strip. He's the musician in Knoxville. Well, when he goes to Florida and Key West, the Parrot Heads, he is a Jimmy Buffett, like, I mean, they flocked to him. So they all came up to, so it was a huge show. It was a lot of fun. But you know what? It gave me something to do and edit. You know, did a little project for the Second Harvest Food Bank. And that was fun in the regards of, you know, they're hurting, but it was something to put some music together. I get to edit. It was fun. And like you said, I come from the Barry Rice and Link Hudson School over at VFL Films. So, you know, that's one of our passions over there is telling stories.
Well, you guys do a great job of that, and that's something that you've done for quite some time, and really appreciate your time. Good luck with the weather in Charlotte. Good luck with everything. And, Andy, we look forward to catching up with you again.
Hey, thanks, guys. And, you know, hey, tune in. We go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Charlotte. Memorial Day is always a big one. You know, we don't have the Indy 500. We don't have Monaco. But the Coca-Cola 600 is still going to run, and, you know, 6 o'clock. The qualifying is actually 2 o'clock on FS1 on Sunday, and then the Coke 600 will be 6 o'clock on Fox.
Fantastic, and we know that we can't wait to see that in-car look at what's going on. Andy, take care.
Oh, always fun.
Be safe.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll catch up again.
Hey, please do. You guys be good and take care.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you. Andy Jeffers joining us from Charlotte. Andy of Sports and Entertainment Media. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to hour number 3 of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
In your car, in your office, in your house, in your shower. 99.1 The Sports Animal. Pass the body wash.
Sports Talk continues, a final segment to hour number 3 of the program. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and Jimmy, looking forward to hour number 4. Still have a couple of really big guests that we're looking forward to catching up with, VFL's Mike Jackson and Steve Hamer.
Mike Jackson averaged over 15 points a game a couple of years at Tennessee. He was a terrific player playing with Ernie and Bernie. And then Steve Hamer is going into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame. He's going to join us as well. So we certainly look forward to catching up with a couple of two former great Tennessee basketball players.
And as we've been talking about, we're brought to you today by Oak Ridge Nissan as they have their back-to-business sale going on. They're closing out May with an incredible fast finish, and they have great savings that they're passing along to you. Great deals, great financing, so many different options. You can buy with no money down. You can get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade-in. You can go with 0% interest for up to 84 months. Again, 84 months. Or go no payments until 2021. During this extraordinary time, Oak Ridge Nissan wants to help you get into the car you deserve, so they've instituted their minimal personal contact sales and service program. Whether you're buying a brand new vehicle or a used vehicle or getting your vehicle serviced, they'll make sure that you have your own private sanitized area where you can either finalize the deal for the vehicle that's new to you or get your car taken care of so you can be on the road and ready right as rain. So you can check them out at their website, oakridgenissan.com, or you can go ahead and check them out by making the short trip. It's a 10-minute drive that'll get you from to Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. You've got new Versus starting at $11,888. You can get a new Rogue or Altima from only $18,888. And make sure that don't make a $10,000 mistake over the 10-minute drive. Make this short 10-minute drive from anywhere and save thousands. So we have more coming your way on Sports Talk And we will get a break and be back with hour number four as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.